ser ético, isto é uma crença.
É uma religião muito grande.
A visão é um culto. É coragem, que é liberdade, que é crer, que é vontade, que é o caráter das pessoas.
Calma de quem é grande, maior que os maiores.
É uma paixão com outra explicação.
Eu não consigo explicar o que é ser do Benfica. Eu sinto o que é ser do Benfica.
Mas de facto uma paixão. E as paixões são assim, vivem-se assim intensamente.
Aqui não há nenhuma razão. É paixão, paixão, paixão.
Ser Benfica.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Talking to the Doll Benfica podcast, episode number 320. Before we get on what's on tap for tonight, let me introduce, we got a full house. Let me introduce everyone. As always, Cristiano Oliveira.
What's going on, everybody?
And up north, David de Oliveira, no relation, but definitely better looking.
And no relation, but good to be back on again tonight.
Yeah. And also making his first appearance in studio, Hugo.
Hey guys, thanks for having me back on. Appreciate it.
Hugo, can you say your last name?
Ferreira.
Okay. I always gotta ask that because I don't know if people want to be identified or not. So I always ask if they want their last name to be out.
Why did Dave have to clarify that there's no relation between us? That's what I'm wondering.
No, because
I mean, we do this every week, and like, are you embarrassed to be my cousin, Dave?
No embarrassment, but somewhere down the line, we are related.
You got that dope ass Benfica shirt. I know mostly everybody that's listening right now cannot watch this. Yep. And we apologize in advance. But Dave's got the, what jersey is that?
1969.
Beautiful, beautiful shirt.
I think that's 2000.
Huh? Yeah,
that's 2001.
2001. From 69 to 2000 is way off. Yeah.
Anyway, so let's get this started. On tap for tonight, we'll break down the Eintracht Frankfurt game. We'll also break down the Stubble game. We'll look ahead to the Eintracht second leg and the Marítimo game, which comes up this weekend. That's for the Liga NOS, Benfica's next opponent for the Liga NOS. So let's get right into this. Benfica played Eintracht last Thursday, first leg of the Europa League quarters, right?
Correct.
Quarters?
I mean, right. Alfredo.
Yeah, so I'll give you the lineup real quick. Vlaco Dimos was in goal. Corsia, Diaz, Jardel, and Grimaldo. Face and Samaris, Jetson, and Servi on the wings. Felix and Rafa. So a little bit of rotation here, Chris. And as we mentioned on the preview of the Eintracht game, you were unsure whether or not Benfica was going to be able to get a good result against Eintracht because of the lineup or the approach that Lage may have. Looking at this lineup, what was your first thoughts?
Yeah, I thought Benfica was resting a couple of guys too many, one too many guys. But, you know, fortunately enough, they turned around, they performed. Benfica had a spectacular performance. I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to give you the privilege of breaking down the game. But the result turned out to be a lot better than I initially expected when I first looked at the lineup. As you know, you and many other people have reached out to me asking me my prediction ahead of the game. And I said, I really have to reserve my thoughts regarding this game because I don't know which way Bruno Lage is going to go. And he did rest a couple of key guys, but nonetheless, Benfica was worthy enough of an opponent to bring things and perform well enough.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, it was the first 15 minutes, I would say, a pretty balanced game. But Ugo, after the red card that Eintracht picked up, and, you know, with reason, obviously, because there was a clear red card going down to 10 men and a subsequent penalty for Benfica, which Benfica ended up getting on the scoreboard. Now Benfica starts taking a little bit of the lead in this game.
We were just lucky that wasn't in the Liga NOS because they would have probably not even gone to VAR. But fortunately enough, it was in the Europa League. Go ahead, Dave. I mean,
yeah, no, for sure. I thought the penalty unlocked the game a bit for Benfica. I thought Benfica came out a bit shaky. The first 10 minutes pretty much belonged to Eintracht. And I thought they were, again, Eintracht's a dangerous opponent. They were moving the ball around very well. And then a little bit of Lage's magic, because Lage played João Félix and Jetson really close to one another in that game. He actually came out with no striker, which was a bit surprising. Altered the formation a bit, put Samaris in the midfield next to Feza. But, you know, so that goal actually came from a combination between Jetson and João Félix, and a clear penalty, clear red card. And then from that moment on, I was a bit disappointed with how we gave up a goal. Up a man. Feza can't give the ball away, yeah, away at that point of the game, but overall,
Yeah, and it comes at a period where Eintracht is trying to react, right? With 10 men that we all know, and we've been around football long enough, that playing against 10 men isn't always going to be an advantage. And quite often, the team that plays with 10 men seems to tend to organize themselves better and really make it competitive. And that's what Eintracht did. They were able to capitalize on that mistake, as you mentioned. But we shut down that pretty quick with Felix getting a second goal right before the half. And I think that tampered off a little bit of what the momentum that Eintracht was building up. Dave, watching this first half and going into the locker room, were you feeling confident that Benfica was going to be able to pull a result, especially playing against 10 men and now 2-1 on the scoreboard?
Yeah, you gotta hope and you expect them to pull out the result if they are playing with the extra man. Would have liked to see Servi convert on his chance right after João Félix's second goal. Servi's right in front of the net and shoots it directly at the keeper when he has the both sides open. So that would have made it 3-1 going into the half, more of a cushion with the extra man. But yeah, it's overall unacceptable to give up that first goal in the second half with the man up. And we'll talk about it more, but we also end up giving up the second away goal with the extra man as well. So
yeah,
it's kind of unacceptable when you've got that extra man. We've been pushing up too much and leaving the defense to fend for, and the defense hasn't been defense and keeper have not been making the smart plays there and been giving up too many goals lately.
Yeah, but I mean, in all reality, it was a couple of mistakes that led to the goal. But up in a scoreboard and up a man, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to manage the game better. So Benfica came out for the second half and right inside the first 15 minutes. And we always talk about how the first 15 minutes are crucial for any team to score in. And Rubén Dias putting Benfica up by two goals. And then in the 54th minute, 4-1. And I think at that point, we really deflated all the chances from Eintracht. But they continued to fight, and they were able to get that second goal, Chris.
Well, they looked for their important second away goal, and Benfica wasn't able to capitalize on a few chances they had to extend that lead and really eliminate this tie going into the second leg in Germany. I thought Sferovic had a perfect chance, a one-on-one with Kevin Trapp, and hey, look, whether you want to blame it on Sferovic, you want to put the pressure, or you want to say that Trapp did well enough to get his leg on the shot and deflect it to go wide. It is what it is, and those are the opportunities that a team must take advantage of when you're trying to kill off any opportunity going into the second leg. And Benfica wasn't able to do that. And credit to Frankfurt, which, you know, I don't like to give the opposition credit many times, but credit to them, they never gave up. And Gonzalo Paciencia, who came in, was able to get his head on the ball and place it opposite post and get the 4-2, get it to 4-2, and give themselves a shooting chance going back to Germany. And it was very, at that point, Alfredo, I have to be brutally honest with you, it was very deflating to give up that second goal. And it was kind of a negative feeling, to be brutally honest with you. But the more I thought about it as the time went on, I'd rather be on the end of a 4-2 victory than on the opposite end of a 2-4 defeat. Benfica played well enough. João Félix stepped up if you guys recall last week, I was here on the podcast saying there's one Felix I thought would benefit from a day off. I thought he needed to get some minutes on the sidelines because it looked like his legs were getting tired, and he stepped up, scored his hat trick, became the youngest Portuguese player ever to score a hat trick in the European competition. I think not just the youngest Portuguese, but the youngest ever to score a hat trick in European competition. The kid stepped up and came to play. As many people have said before, and you know, obviously news is out there that Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, Barcelona, everyone came out to see Jovic, and they all left impressed with my brother, João Félix, who had an exceptional game. And you know, all when it's all said and done, Benfica takes a 4-2 lead into Germany, and hopefully they're able to hold on and capitalize on this magnificent victory at home and move on to the semifinals to face against Chelsea or what, a Lokomotiv?
Praha.
Slava.
It was close. Lokomotiv, Slavic. You guys understand how I get it mixed up.
And Ugo, quite a night for João Félix, right? He gets the hat trick, but also, you know, as Cristiano mentioned and David put on his stats, the youngest player ever to get a hat trick in competition, beating out Eusebio's record. But you get a hat trick, you get a sense that it's one of those games that everything is going well for you. And then when he scores that third goal, there's that the emotions finally come out.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think it was a bit of silencing some of the critics that was coming out in the press. If you guys recall correctly, Lage in his post-game press conferences was already having to answer about João Félix being in best forma. So again, it was important for the kid to do it and to do it at that stage. As Chris alluded to earlier, there was tons of scouts, unfortunately for us or fortunately for us, however you want to look at that. For me, it's unfortunately, he was able to rise to the occasion and silence a lot of the critics that, obviously were stepping forward and, trying to get into his head.
Yeah. Look, at this point, if you don't have a folder on João Félix that's about an inch thick and you're watching him for the first time, you're late to the party. You're definitely not going to be one of the suitors that is going to beat that clause and take him away. So at this point, João Félix is not news to anybody. Nobody should be surprised by João Félix's talent, because the talent is there. Obviously, a European game in the quarterfinals of the Europa League, and you're able to score three goals and you have that dominant of performance, obviously that's something that a lot of people take note. But João Félix has arrived on the scene. He is here.
He's here, and you know what? Juventus could have used them today. They got one Portuguese superstar. I think it's time to shell out another couple of million and get the other Portuguese superstar to pull her over the top.
For those of you that are new to the podcast, Dave's girlfriend's Italian, so you know he's rooting that Italian side in him is coming out. Look, João Félix is fantastic.
Juve is not my Italian team, I'll tell you that much. They're at the bottom. Those great. Corrupt bastards.
Same as mine. But look, João Félix is a fantastic young player. He's a fantastic lad, as I like to say in good old friends in the UK. I happen to know him personally. He's a really good person.
Mandas nudes, though, guys.
He sends them to me normally, but
Chris has got to approve them first, right?
Yeah, I got to approve them exactly. Thank you. I got to Muzz, look. I hate to say this about the kid. I think the sky's the limit on João Félix, but I think he wouldn't, you know, I think another year at Benfica would suit him well. I think he's an extraordinary talent. And again, as I stated before, I think he could get to meet every expectation that there is out there about them, but I don't think he's there yet. And I said that last week. And then he goes out and shuts me up and he scores a hat trick. So I hope he's listening to this once again. And he goes out and proves me wrong and scores another hat trick because he knows that I'm listening to him. But at the end of the day, he knows that I'm rooting for him. Like I've mentioned before, we've struck up some type of friendship. You know, we talk on a regular. And I wish the kid nothing but the best. And so I don't want him or anyone that's listening to this to misinterpret this as a knock on him and saying that I think he could use another year at Benfica. But it's the way I feel. I think.
Is it true you've given him some playing tips?
Look, that's between him and I. And I think we'd like to keep it on the Benfica podcast. We'll talk about it off air. But look, the kid doesn't need any tips from me. He's a fantastic player. He's made the most of his opportunity. And Bruno Lage has used them as smartly as anyone. He's given them as much of leeway as there is. I think the one thing about Bruno Lage, and it's the one thing I've touted about Bruno Lage since he's been appointed the head coach at Benfica, is that he instills this confidence in every player, from a youngster in a João Félix to a Jetson to a Florentino to a Jonas to a veteran like Jonas.
Todos conto.
But then again, look, I don't like to use that todos conto on Hugo, because our former coach used to say o cavalo passa a porta de frente todos, and we saw that wasn't the case because Tarapto was outside with his cowboy boots on and his cowboy hat, and the horse never came through.
The camel, whichever way you
want to
look at it.
Vaca, camels in Portugal, no alpa. Come on, Alfredo.
Ah, não é lógico.
Não é lógico, mas não, mas no alá lá em Lisboa, pá. Vacas e cavalos, isso. But look, they've both worked fantastic off of one another. And I think it's been terrific to watch.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that Lajas brought to this team was not only his knowledge of the B team, but also the familiarity that he's had with some of the technical staff at Benfica. And when I'm talking about technical staff, I'm talking about the guys that are coaches, that are part of the staff of very young teams at Benfica, guys that have followed these players through their different stages of learning and evolution, right? So when he turns to a guy and says, hey, what's your profile on this player? And they're able to tell him, well, I've known this player since he was 8, 9 years old, and these are his strong points. Then all of a sudden, that familiarity and that confidence and that trust factor that he has in members of the staff, and not as direct staff, but staff at Benfica, become something that he could use. We heard here oftentimes that Rui Vitória was a guy that there was a lot of work prepared for Rui Vitória ahead of the games. There was Benfica lag reports that were given to him, and he used to ignore the hell out of those reports. And oftentimes, and we all see the results and what happened. But I think that Todos Contam is something that could be applied to everything, not only players, but also every member of the staff at the Seychelles knows Bruno Lage. Bruno Lage is friendly with all of them, and he takes their advice and he trusts their advice. And I think that's one of the biggest difference. In the winter break, when he brought Ferro, when he brought Florentino, when he brought Jota, there was at a point there was a lot of people that questioned it, that, you know, these are going to be our reforços for the winter. And now you look at it, Ferro, undoubtedly one of our best center backs. Florentino is growing in leaps and bounds in confidence in the way that he plays in the first team. And Jota just hasn't had his opportunity because Rafa has been playing well. But once Jota gets that opportunity, he's going to grab it.
To me, it shows a lot of the maturity that happens at the academy level at the club, because again, it's one thing to instill these academy kids into games that don't mean much, which our neighbor and rival is used to playing games like that. The other thing is to launch these kids under pressure. Every game is a must win. Launching these players in a European tie, obviously with all the history that the club has, it's not easy to do what Lage is doing, with these kids at the moment. So credit also goes to everyone at the academy for preparing these kids for this moment.
Hugo, I don't know if you've listened to our previous podcast or not, but I've mentioned here on a handful of times that I had the privilege of speaking to a couple of Benfica guys.
This guy's
that,
always name dropping.
I'm not. I said I had the privilege. I'm not name dropping. I'm saying I spoke to a couple of people that know the insides of Benfica a lot better than I would ever anticipate. And so this is direct knowledge of what's going on. And so when I question the addition of João Félix and being promoted fully to the main squad, and then Jetson, and then you get to January and you get Florentino and you get Jota, and you start making all the Inferno, and you start asking all these questions, and the overwhelming response from those on the inside, I will not drop names, but from those, and I'm not making this up because obviously what I'm saying is correct. The overwhelming response from everyone was, Chris, these kids are prepped for this from the earliest stage possible at Benfica. So when a Florentino gets promoted to a Benfica, to the main squad, and he's playing in a team and he's making his debut as a starter and in Istanbul, to him, it's another day because he's playing with that added pressure every single day, whether it's at Benfica B or at Benfica U19. So to them, to these people, when I did mention these players, to them, it was like, bro, it's another day. It's another walk in the park. Where to myself, it was a surprise. And I'm being honest. I know you're smiling at me. I'm not trying to be facetious here. I'm being honest. I was surprised, like, whoa, damn, yo. Florentino making his debut in Istanbul, and the kid looks like he hasn't missed a beat. Looks like he's comfortable. And like, Chris, why are you surprised? This is what Benfica preps these kids on a day-to-day basis for moments like this. So every moment on the B team, on the U19s, you whatever, you go down the line, they are prepped to when they get to the stage, that it's just another day for them. It's not a deer in the headlights.
That's the importance of having a B team.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And
allowing these boys to play against men.
Yeah. And let's not forget also that Benfica has been to two UEFA Youth Champions League finals in the past 5 years, which is obviously the highest level of competition that you could have at the youth level. So these players have played in that stage, so they're used to that type of pressure. They're used to this type of competition. So as Cristiano mentioned, the transition is seamless.
It's seamless. It seems to them it's nothing new. It's like nothing changes on their day-to-day preparation. And we know that expectations are high as they move up the chain. We know that preparation and basically the walk up to the game, the lead up to the game is different. Hugo, you've been involved in this with Arsenal and other organizations. Our good friend Leroy Skater sitting here watching us. Alfredo, you've been privy to this as well. We see every team, every age level, every group has a different way of approaching things. And Benfica tries to keep that as close as possible from the main squad to the under 14s to the juniors, to because they want these kids to just move up the ladder and it all be seamless. It all be the same exact thing that they've been practicing.
Yeah.
Same thing they've been going through over the last 4 or 5 years. It's nothing new to them.
A lot of good things happening at the Seychelles, if you don't know. But since we're on the Eintracht and Benfica taking 4-2 aggregate over to Frankfurt this Thursday, let's get into...
Before we move on, though, I think we haven't mentioned that it was good, but it wasn't good to see Jovic. A guy that Benfica loaned out with the shitty release clause and he scored. It was good because it does bring up his value, and Benfica sits to make more money off of him.
Wait a minute. Did you just say it was good to see an opponent put an away goal inside the loop?
No. My thing is, if someone's going to score it, let it be him.
No. Let it be no one.
No, we're in agreement. I don't want anybody to score, but if... My thing is this, and I told Alfredo this right after the game. No, that's Renato Sanchez, and even then, I'm not happy about that. Don't remind me that day. But I told Alfredo that right after the game. If someone was going to score, I don't want the Tripeiro to score. Because I would much rather am I speaking or are you speaking? I would have much rather have Jovic score his second than have a Tripeiro. If someone's going to score the second goal, are we in agreement here?
No, because para mim só interessa o Benfica. Que foda o Jovic.
And what? Jovic interessa o Benfica? Because scoring his value goes up and Benfica makes more off of that 20%.
I get what you're saying.
Am I right or wrong? Leroy, you're the agent here. You're the guy with the brain. So Leroy is nodding in agreement. Leroy, that's why he's my boy. But look, I think I don't want anyone to score. But someone's going to score. No, sir.
I understand what you're saying. In all seriousness, thank you.
I get it. So let's get right into that Eintracht Frankfurt preview. And Eintracht hadn't lost the game in this competition. Dave, I'll let you take it away. There's quite a few stats here. Some of them encouraging, some of them not so encouraging. But I'll let you take it away with these stats with Benfica traveling to Frankfurt this Thursday.
Yeah, so like you had said, this was Frankfurt's first Europa League loss this season. They were they previously had 8 wins and 2 draws, so they picked up their first loss. And then on this past weekend, they've also lost 3-1 at home against Augsburg. So back-to-back losses for the first time since December. And they played with a similar type of lineup as they did on Thursday. So it's not like they went heavy into the squad rotation. I think there was maximum of 2 players that were switched up. But yeah, so 3-1 loss at home for them this past weekend. Benfica has only been eliminated once out of the previous 14 fixtures after they've been ahead 2 goals with the first leg at home. 73% of teams qualified to the next round after winning the first leg at home 4-2 in European competition history. So out of 66 games, 48 teams have qualified onto the next round. But Benfica all-time in Germany have only 2 wins, 6 draws, and 16 losses. So we have that going against us playing in Frankfurt this Thursday.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely, Portuguese teams in general don't have a good record when they go to Germany and play. Again, 2 goals. I don't think it's comfortable to the point that you got two goals, right? And if you manage you manage the game correctly, and I'm not talking about enter the game to tie the game or not to, you know, just play defense, it's not going to work out.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I actually remember mentioning to Chris after the game, it was a weird feeling. It was a bittersweet result for me. Again, conceding two away goals when you're up a man for 70 minutes, especially the first one during the run of play. I can understand on a set piece things happen, but the first one really deflated me. And 4-2 to me is not a safe result at all.
No.
The eliminatoria is nowhere near being resolved. And again, I think it's up to Benfica to go out there and Pen o acelerador desde o primeiro minuto, score an away goal, grab an away goal, and then I think we can settle in, because I don't think 4-2 in a packed Frankfurt Stadium, they have a chance to make history as well. I'm not safe with that result. I think we're going to advance, but again, it's not a result that leaves you relaxed. And that's
Don't lie.
Christina, what do you think the approach is going
to
be?
Hugo and I got into a discussion where he was like, oh, my, them guys, yo, they're better than what I expected. They haven't lost since December. I said, they just lost us 4-2. Look, you know this very well. I came on here last week and I said, look, I think they're better than what people give them credit for. But I don't think they're a top team. I think Benfica has the obligation to beat them on paper. Now, anything can happen on please don't tell me somebody's calling from China once again. No China this time. I don't think Benfica will give away this two goal lead. I think Benfica has enough quality to hold on to this two goal lead. I think Benfica has the quality to go on and score in a Frankfurt. And I know they haven't scored since they haven't lost games since December. It's impressive, yada, yada, yada. But Benfica still put a pretty impressive game together against them. And I know they had a man up, yada, yada, yada. But I think Benfica is good enough to hold on to this result. The only way I don't think Benfica holds on to a result like this with a two goal lead going into Germany is, what does Bruno Lage does? And again, it goes back to the question that we posed last week. I don't understand. I don't know. I don't know how to gauge. I don't know how to guess. I don't know what Bruno Lage and the higher uppers, right, the guys in the suits, what decision they're going to make going into this game on Thursday.
Bruno Lage is, as mentioned, and I think that when people question him about the rotation of the squad, the explanation that he has for this, and he doesn't really consider it rotation. He considers that every player brings a different wrinkle to the game or a different skill set. And when he decides to put Florentino, or he decides to put Feisa instead of Florentino or Samaris, whoever, he feels that that's what the game asks for. So when people question about his rotation, it's not so much the rotation. He explains it as people. That's what the game asks for. He needs players with those traits and those skill sets, and that's what he's going to play with. But Ugo, what do you think the approach is going to be from Lage? Do you think that he's going to go with his strongest lineup? Do you think there's going to be some rotation? Do you think he's going to adapt to what Eintracht might bring to the game?
I think you can expect a little bit of rotation. I think Jetson gets back in there. Forcefully, Andre Almeida is going to have to be your right back, because obviously Corsia went down to injury. Aside from that, again,
Almeida did look shook up in the last game.
Está cansado, pa.
No, you went down and looked serious for a minute.
No, it was a Charlie horse to his...
If that's the case, then Jetson thinks you got a lateral direito. There's no other option. But anyway, lost my train of thought there. But
the approach.
I think the fact that Jardel and Feza were left off of the Concacaf on the weekend dictate that they're going to be in the lineup again. So I think it's going to be a similar lineup to what we saw in Luz. The only thing is now, I believe, because again, we're going to have to play more so on the counter. I think Seferovic gets a start, so we can stretch out that back four, or really back three, because Frankfurt plays with three defenders. So I think Sferovic is going to be inserted in there. So you might see a little bit of a tactical switch on that. standpoint. But I expect a little bit of a rotation. But again, for me, if you're asking my opinion, it has to be Ben Wasslerador. Benfica is close to another European semifinal, and all of a sudden you're two games away from playing another final, which hopefully we can break this horrible curse that we're under.
Nah, you don't believe that shit, do you?
No, I don't.
Okay. No, so Eintracht will lose one player that it won't be able to play. Obviously, the guy that picked up the red card, but they do get two players back that were starters that weren't available to play against Benfica in the first leg. So, look, it's not going to be easy. I think that Benfica has to be very cautious. I think that they're going to have to withstand some of the pressure and the onslaught, perhaps in the first 20, 25 minutes by Eintracht. And I think that if you make it past that without allowing a goal and you're able to take out the crowd away or off or from being an influence on this team, I think that you put yourself in a very good position. I think that if you allow an early goal, the crowd is just going to get re-energized. The team is going to get galvanized. And I think it's going to be a tough game, because if Eintracht scores two goals, they're through.
Yeah. I think the man that could play a pivotal role on Thursday, if he does get in the action, because he only came on in the second half as a substitute, is Pizzi, because he has that calming influence. He could calm the game down, settle it down. So I think it would be big to insert him in the lineup. But again, I don't know, to Chris's point earlier, I don't know what Lage is going to do as far as some of those guys.
Yeah. Dave, what are your feelings on this going into this game?
If Mr. Lage is saying that he picks these players based on what the game requires, I don't know what game Servi ever needs to be put into or start in the starting 11. No disrespect to Mr. Lage. We love him, and Lage we trust, but Servi is not a player for any match form. With saying that,
I run a lot. You could run a lot.
That's good.
He offers consistency defensively, so I think that's the only thought process.
What was I think there was a question that somebody posed, and I can't remember the question now. I tweeted the somebody asked them in a post Stubel game. Somebody asked them a question about Lage's style or something like that, and he said, "No, it's run a lot style." Meaning the team just works hard and they put themselves in a very good position to progress with the ball and put themselves in front of goal. And I can't remember the expression now, the question that I was asked to him, but he did say it's run a lot, not Lage's style. But yeah. But, you know, we could expect a difficult game in Frankfurt.
It was like Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Sir Mix-a-Lot, yeah.
I like big butts and I cannot. That's another story.
So it's going to be a tough game, but I think that Benfica has the quality and the talent to be able to come out of Germany with a good result, even if it's just a tie. But again, I think that if the approach is that you're playing for a tie and you play ultra defensive, I think Kvash Darmal.
That always backfires. That always backfires. I know a two goal lead is a nice cushion. I would much rather have a three goal lead. Going into Germany, you know, these guys are going to feel comfortable. They're going to have the pressure on themselves. They want to advance because they have an opportunity to do something historic for the club. But that being said, I think Benfica has a responsibility of holding on to this result. It just scares me. It does. It really does scare me, because I do think Benfica is looking, rightfully so, at this stage in the game. They are prioritizing the league. They're playing a Marítimo at home, who is a pesky little team, and we'll get into that game in a couple of minutes regarding Petit, the former Benfica's players' decisions. But Benfica will want to take that game serious. They prioritize the Campeonato. And we'll see. We will see what happens on Thursday. I think Benfica fields a formidable lineup, and hopefully it's good enough to beat this nice, you know, German sensation, a team who's had a stellar year. I think they've been a lot better than anyone would ever anticipate. But nonetheless, I think Benfica has the responsibility to come away. Look, they have a two-goal lead going into Germany. Score one goal, do the opposite of what the hell you went into Stadio José Alvalade a couple of weeks ago in the Taça de Portugal. You score one goal there, the tie is done. I hope Benfica does the same thing, score a goal in Frankfurt. Hopefully, Sferovic will want to come back and prove to his old
much
fans.
Much like Jovic.
Absolutely, much like Jovic. Come in and prove and that, look, he's not a mishap. It wasn't a shot in the dark, that he is a quality player. He scores a goal, give Benfica the early breathing room, and I think, you know, it could be a very positive Thursday afternoon or evening, I should say.
Yeah. Turning our attention now to Benfica's last game for the Liga NOS this past Sunday against Vitória de Setúbal at Estádio da Luz. I'll give you the lineup and we'll get into that real quick. Vlaco Dimos, Almeida, Dias, Ferro and Grimaldo, Samaris and Florentino in the middle, Pizzi and Rafa on the wing, Seferovic and Felix. So I think that when you look at this as perhaps, with Gabriel being injured, is perhaps Benfica's strongest lineup. And Benfica started quite strong. 2 minutes in, Rafa getting a cheeky touch after João Félix's cross, putting Benfica up 1-0. And then in the 29th minute, we had that obvious PK with the handball that they went to the VAR.
How does that even go to VAR? First of all, fantastic job by Benfica not to get the boom, boom, boom. No. Rui Vitória lá para frente. 26 touches, João Félix to Rafa. Little cheeky touch. I think he mishit it, but who cares? Counts. 1-0 lead. Then that bull BS penalty, which I'm still questioning. Why in the world did Ruben Michael not get a red card? I mean, the guy's got his hand up, raises it even higher to block a shot going on goal. Why does that even have to go to VAR? And Dave, Super Dave, my cousin from up north, we talk about the VAR all the time. We talk about the refereeing decisions. Please explain to me. You adding wood or gas to the fire by even going to the VAR? Because to me, if that is not a clear penalty,
but it's
why did he didn't call it?
He didn't call it because it's too quick. I don't think from where he was, he had a chance to get a really good look at it.
With all due respect,
because
Juan
Felix calls him out.
You're talking as a referee, and I watch your referee, and you should have given a red card, which you didn't. So I don't trust you.
Reffing you nines.
I don't care. The guy slid tackle. That was a red card, and I questioned you. But be honest, did I question you then?
No.
BS. I questioned me, Mr. Dos Santos. Question. Now, Dave, if that is not a clear handball, and that needs to go to VAR, that doesn't show you how much the Portuguese referees are leaning one way or another. I don't know what does, Dave.
I don't know if it's so much one way or to another, but they know that they have that cushion behind them where they can afford to not make that call right away and then have to go back to it. The same thing with the offsides. They're not calling the offsides right away, letting the play out. And then if they have to go back, they have the VAR. So I think they're using it more as a security blanket.
But Dave, my man was like this. He looked like
100%. 100%.
No, you know what Ruben Michael reminded me of? A crossing guard at Oliver Street School when I was going to grammar school. He's like, oh, parai. That's what he looked like. Yo, don't.
No.
Bro, the guy had his arm up. I mean, it was clear as day.
It was
one thing I noticed between the refs on Sunday compared to the refereeing on Thursday is that when there's a, during the Europa League, when there's a call that goes against Benfica, the players, you know what? They don't go up to the referee. They don't go and dispute it. They respect
the referee.
There's no VAR
in Europa League. That's why. No,
we can make argument too, but I think there's no respect. I'm not saying that they should have respect for the referees after what we've seen from them, but it's just night and day style of refereeing between European competition and Liga NOS.
Look, I think that when you look at this and you're looking at this play, whether you're looking at it on a TV monitor or VAR or Cidade Futebol, whatever, you got to look to see what the intention and if it's that deliberate. And to me, when I look at this, and even after the multiple angle replays, it doesn't look to be something that's obviously deliberate. He looks like, and he makes a point, and he argues that he's turning his body And with the motion of turning his body, he's able to, you know, his hand swings and the ball hits his hand. So I think that when you look at that play, that's what you look at. Now, I don't
think the ball hits his hand. He didn't raise his hand.
I don't think is. I think that he's turning his body, but he also uses his hand to turn his body.
Let me ask you a question. First of all, the hand was up in my honest opinion. The hand was up already. Who in their right mind plays with their hands up in the box? Alfredo, come on.
Look, I
know you're being a referee, giving the dudes the benefit of the doubt.
It's a clear penalty for me.
Clear. It's the fact that it went to VAR to me was an embarrassment. But to me, that is as clear as penalty as there is.
What we're arguing here is what color card he should have gotten.
No, they're going on dois penaltis.
No, look, I think that the when it's and from the angle where the referee was, it's something that's very quick. It's a bang bang play, and I think that it was hard for him to detect whether that came off the hand or whether that came off the head. And as a referee, you tend to listen for the sounds. And there's a very unique sound when it hits your hand or your arm or your chest or your head. But
the Lush was quiet enough that he could have heard anything, right?
Don't even get us started on quietness at the Lush, because we're not there. But there's been the biggest topic is the stadium culture at Stade de Luge, with people leaving early, with the PD Lumps with the lights.
And you got to stay tuned to Time Added On for that, which will come out on Benfica Independent later on this week.
That was last week we talked about the stadium culture.
Well, we'll talk about it again because it's been an embarrassment. But look, as opposed to everyone else, I have a different opinion, and we'll talk about that later. So stay tuned. Check out Time Added On, Time AO19 on Twitter, and we will give you the latest.
Right, and we'll be discussing a few other topics. But let's get this Stubble game wrapped up. So again, Rafa 2-0 in the 39th minute.
We missed Pizzi's missing the penalty shot.
29th. Yeah, we got as far as the penalty in the handball, but
you want to talk about the what do you call it? The Monku Master? Is that what you're talking about, Dave? The Monku Master? The guy looks like Eusebio against the Monku. And then when time is...
Are you talking about the guy with 17 league assists?
Uribe's assists.
He's not
that guy. That guy. It's like, you
know about the Rei dos Frangos.
You know, No. I was going to give you one better. It's like, you ever driven to Bairrada and they're all Rei dos Leitões? É tudo Rei dos Leitões. Aquilo é o Rei dos Leitões. Rei dos Leitões. We were there.
Penaltis todos falham, man.
Sim, mas ninguém está
falando.
But dude, the fact is that he had a poor game. Then he wound up with a later assist and everybody's, oh, he's back. O Rei dos... Look, Pizzi is a player that I believe Benfica needs. Benfica needs to count on, but he is a critical player for Benfica, but it does not shy away from the fact that a lot of times when you need him at the most crucial moment, he has gone missing.
Yeah. And missed penalty. Rafa gets a second goal in the 36th minute. In the 39th minute, Stubble reacts well to those goals. And credit to Stubble throughout the game, they try to play even. With Benfica, they didn't give up. They didn't put their...
Nos jogaram o jogo dos machos, like the last time.
No.
Não estacionaram o autocarro, I'll tell you that.
No, they were... It's encouraging to see teams and come out to Stade de Luge and play like that. They would get one back in the 39th minute. And it kind of dampened things a little bit.
It was a nice goal. Nice build-up. It wasn't...
Ferro with the cueca.
Yeah, Heriberto started off. I'm sure he did that in Seychelles a couple times.
Former Benfica guy. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, a guy that I thought deserved a look that maybe for
past
years. Nos anos passados, I thought he deserved a look. Now, whether the guy
Cavaleiro is 10 times better than him.
Mas o que é que tem a ver que há 3 anos atrás when I thought he deserved a chance? Now we see it's a lot
of Blonde, you can.
Opa, mas é fácil ver. Jogo de poker.
Pá,
after the river
bom.
Comes out do canto, pá. Antes qualquer um.
Se ele fosse bom, já estava em Portugal há muito tempo. Não andava na Polónia, nem na Scottish Second Division, whatever he was.
Estou a falar antes.
Antes, está bem.
Antes, estava a falar agora. Antes, before you saw the river, would you go all in or not? That's the question.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight's Cristiano appearance is sponsored by Crown Royal Peach. Let's give him a shout out. He is they are fueling Cristiano's appearance tonight on the podcast. So if Cristiano seems a little boisterous and more interventive than usual, then we can thank the Crown Royal Peach. So anyway, Benfica comes out of the locker room. João Félix gets his first goal of the game and puts Benfica up 3-1. A brutal sliding interception by Florentino. O Cavaleiro Silencioso, the Silent Knight.
O Polvo da Luz.
O Polvo da Luz.
That's what I want to call him.
No, you don't want to call him the Polvo da Luz, man. That's that. That sounds too much like shady
that,
shit.
That criminal that's up north. No,
the Silent Knight.
No, Florentino obviously showed his number one quality, which is recuperação de bolas. He could play a bit of a six and an eight, and so can Samaris. I think Benfica benefits well from that duo in midfield, especially with Gabriel's absence. And I think we'll see more of that down the stretch. But to get back into the Setúbal game, it was refreshing to see Benfica finally grab an early goal and kind of calm us all down a bit. Yeah, I know Setúbal made it 2-1, but then Benfica quickly grabbed a 3-1 lead in the beginning of the second half. A phenomenal finish by João Félix, and an even better celebration with his brother. That was nice to see. You know, and it was nice to see Benfica finally win a game. I wouldn't say with comfort because, again, credit, and we touched on this earlier, credit to Setúbal. They didn't park the bus. They played very positive football inside of Luz. I mean, they came out in a 4-4-2. When's the last time you saw a small club go to Luz and have that positive style of football at Benfica? So again, credit to them, but it was good to see Benfica kind of win a comfortable one and really settle our chests
on
a bit watching.
Dave, drop us some stats on this Setúbal game. I know you got quite a few things here that should be noted.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll start from the beginning. Rafa with the brace bringing his goal totals to 12. In the Campeonato, 16 amongst all competition, but he picks up a yellow card for simulation in the box. So he misses the next match against Marítimo for yellow card accumulation. Pizzi becomes the third Benfica player this season to miss a penalty behind Ferreira and Salvio. And actually, Benfica leads the league with the most missed penalties with three this season as well. João Félix, what else can we say about him? Two assists and a goal. So altogether, he's got 11 goals, 7 assists in 21 games this season. And even Seferovic at the end gets on the scoreboard with his league-leading 19th goal scored and zero from penalties as well. So for people that want to make the argument that your striker should be taking the penalties, this guy's got no penalties, no goals from penalties this season. 19, all from no penalties.
Yeah. And something else, Benfica have already conceded 26 goals this season, the most since 2011-2012 through 29 games. And let's not forget, we had Rui Vitória in the beginning of the season. Let's not forget that. Benfica has never scored 81 goals through 29 games, which is also very encouraging. And again, that 10-0 shellacking of Nacional, I'm sure, helped that number. In 14 games that Bruno Lage has been coached, Benfica has scored 4-plus goals in 8 of those games. Wow, it's quite impressive. Hook, quite an offensive production here for Bruno Lage's teams.
Yeah, it just shows the style that Bruno Lage implements, the 4-4-2, which is, in his case, it's a very offensive 4-4-2. And obviously, again, it helps because he was playing that same system in the B team, so he just slid right in implemented a system that he's comfortable with, implemented a system that I think we were all calling for during the Rui Vitória era to return back to the 4-4-2. And I think that the players, again, instilling that confidence in them and the belief that there's 25 of them now and not just 13 or 14 is also really helping this team, especially at a crucial time. So I can't say enough good things about Bruno Lage, about what he's done thus far.
Yeah, absolutely. So Benfica grabs the 3 points. And again, this was the Benfica's third game scoring 4 goals, right? If I recall correctly. So Eintracht, Feirense,
yeah.
And Setúbal.
Correct.
hopefully that the goals don't stop there when we play Eintracht this Thursday and then Maritim. Let's turn our attention now to Maritim. And Dave, what's Maritim been up to this season?
They're currently in 10th position with 33 points from 10 wins, 3 draws, 16 losses. Like Cristiano mentioned, Petit is their coach. Now he took over on the 1st of December. And since he's taken over, they've won 7, drawn 2, and they have 9 losses. So he kind of turned the ship around for them, moving them up to 10th position because before then, they were struggling with the relegation zone there. So he's kind of steadied the ship. And their last 5 games, they've got 3 wins and 2 losses.
Yeah, they've only scored 7 goals away from the Barreiros. Second worst attack, tied with Chaves when they go away from their home stadium in Funchal. Tricky game for Benfica with Maritimo. And I know that we're playing home. Maritimo is resting some play. Well, resting. Some players will not be available as a result of picking up accumulation of yellow cards. And there's a bit of a controversy here, but it's not really a controversy. This is also another topic that we're going to talk about in our YouTube show, Time Added On. After the game and the flash interview of Maritim's last game, Petit did admit that he forced 2 of his players to pick up their yellow card that would suspend them for the next game, purposely against Benfica. So he drew some criticism in regard to that. But you know, the response from Petit, and he already had done this against Porto, but Porto, it wasn't forced yellow cards, but he rested players because Maritim's championship or Maritim's league is not against Benfica, is not against Porto, is against other teams. And up next after Benfica, they have Tondela, who is only 5 points difference, and they're only 6 points above the relegation zone. So I give honesty. It's honesty on parts of on Petit, and it's a strategy. He's a manager of this team, and he knows what's best for this team. And if he feels that he's going to put these players in danger of playing against Tondela, which is a team that in a game that they need to win, then he's going to, you know, sit him out against Benfica or let him pick up a yellow card and just clean the slate and just have him available for the rest of the season. Hugo, controversy here, or you think that uma tempestade no copo d'água?
This is just a typical case of it's Portugal. And more importantly, it's only chatter because it's Benfica. Let's face it. It's strategic, obviously, from T to force 2 yellow cards on 2 of his players that had 4 bookings. But again, this is only a topic because he's honest about it in the press conference when asked about it. He could have easily deflected the question and lied about it. But instead, the guy chooses to be honest about it. And boom, it just starts all this chatter. Meanwhile, you got Antonio Folha and Sérgio Conceição basically kissing each other before the team this sport game.
Os linguagens.
Mas isso já ninguém diz nada. And again, I mean, again, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't type of scenario. And I truly believe that it's only being brought up because, again, it's Benfica. And
Cristiano, whether he comes out and says it in a press conference or whether he just doesn't say and lets people create all kinds of theories on what he's doing, he was honest. He was just honest about it.
Look, I might agree with his theory. I understand that the remaining 4 games after this Benfica matchup are crucial, and that they will need every point possible to stay in in the first division. But that being said, I would be frustrated if they were facing Futebol Clube do Porto and he was to admit to such thing. And I know it did happen previously with Futebol Clube do Porto, but I don't recall him admitting it publicly. I think it would have been more accepted, or it would have been better suited on his part to just swallow it and act like it was part of the game. Look, the guy's got a yellow. We can't control what the players do out there. But now coming out and admitting it, it just looks dirty. And as a Benfiquista, as a guy who fights for Benfica on a weekend, you know, week out basis, I don't want any help. And it seems like, right, even though he's looking out for the best interest in his team, it might seem like he's looking out for Benfica in this interest. And so I don't like it. I wish he would have kept it inside and would have expressed it to his colleagues and rather not to the media.
I think you're just being narrow-minded when you can't understand where the guy is coming from and he explains it.
I don't think it's anything to do with that. I think it's just the what's going on currently in Portuguese football, where everything outside the four lines makes more noise than what the hell's going on within the four lines. I think that is just added noise. I don't think that was necessary to say that.
Let's face it, though, guys. I mean, this isn't the new tactic. This has been going on for years and years, not just in Portuguese football, in world football, where people are forcing yellow cards. I know it's a big topic in UEFA competitions.
You have to understand the current situation of the Portuguese league and the toxic atmosphere that is surrounding Portuguese football.
Jackson going through the motions again.
This is one of these fights or discussions that I do not want to speak about. I'm being honest and giving you my honest opinion. I don't hate the tick for tack, right? I wouldn't like, or just like I don't like, the fact that Portista is sitting here and accusing Petita being a Benfiquista, Klaas a Benfiquista, and he's setting up to give Benfica the game. Because if we go back, Marítimo, the same thing as Porto. So it's like, bro, it is what it is. I'd rather he just would have kept it indoors. Therefore, this wouldn't have been a topic for everyone else to talk about. I don't like the tick for tack. You and I have talked about this off air plenty of times. I'm not a fan of the tick for tack situation that's going on in Portuguese football. I don't think it does Portuguese football any service. I don't think it does Benfica any justice. I think it's just an ugly scene that is going around in Portuguese football that now, even if it's a clear victory, if it is an undisputed contest, anything can be questioned in Portuguese football, and it's despicable.
I agree. It could have been avoided. But again, it's the guy is being crucified for being honest. He could have easily deflected that question. I agree on that front. But again, he's being honest. What brings more questions
to the surface? Him just deflecting the question, say, look, you know what? Players reacted in a manner that I did not expect them to react.
I have more of a problem. And again, I'm going back to Antonio Folha. Okay. I remember in the Primeira Volta, Nakajima gets taken down in the box. He could have gone up to nothing. Doesn't mention anything in the press conference. I have more of a problem with something like that.
Maybe I'm
where he's clearly condicionado because he's a Portista and he doesn't want to say, we got robbed.
But we all know that. And so confronting it and being the same way and reacting the same way that we expect these porcos to react is not serving us any justice. Look, one thing about Benfiquistas we've always claimed to be is classy Benfiquistas, and we look at things differently, and we look at things the way they should be. And now,
you fight guys like Jota Marques with class?
I ignore them. Don't laugh. Don't smile. I ignore them. Let them talk. Because as long as Benfica steps in every weekend and handles their business, they can sit there and chirp all they want. Because look, any person that is not blind, any person that is not biased, is able to see within the guidelines what the hell is going on in Portuguese football. So for me to react the same way when I sit here and complain that you're unprofessional, that you have no class, and then a week later, I react the same way. I lose all my voice. I can't be classy no longer because I'm doing the same thing you're doing.
Again, I just don't.
Yeah, but if he had done that for Porto, right? And now he admitted that he already had done that for Porto.
But he didn't admit it at the moment.
He didn't admit it at the moment.
Exactly.
But now he
does it. So why couldn't he hide and shield it the way he did it before?
I understand.
Because the reality of things, and guys, please understand what I'm saying. All right? Please understand what I'm saying. In today's climate, and today, what the hell is going on in Portuguese football today? Anything you say can and will be held against you. All right? Wouldn't it be wise for you to just say, look, opa, eu na minha cabeça pensei que isto ia servir melhor à minha equipa. But look,
I think it would have been wiser.
The players reacted in a way that I can't control. I'm only a manager. And look, we have other options. We will handle the situation as best as possible. And guess what? Nobody will question.
I think he could have camouflaged it by simply telling his player to take somebody down from behind, grab a jersey, you know, it would have been easier.
Hugo, but way. He could have camouflaged. He had that opportunity. And right. He had another opportunity after the game to be smart. And we're talking about a Portuguese international, a guy who's been there and played at Benfica, played at Boavista, whatever, prior to getting to Benfica, but played in the limelight, a guy that is used to the attention. This is not his first rodeo. He has to be smarter than that.
Again, he's being crucified for being honest.
And I think, and again, you're right. He is being crucified, but I think that all could have been avoided had he just said, I can't control what my players do.
And then, of course, who jumps on it? A club who's benefited from at least 10 points in a league position is the one that jumps on that.
So whether that is an easy game or a hard game for Benfica, we shall see. That game takes place on Sunday, 8:15 local at Estádio da Luz. And so we'll just have to see how it plays out. No doubt that Benfica can't be looking at this Marítimo team and thinking that this is going to be an easy game. Dizla?
Huh? It's on Monday, the game.
Oh, it is on Monday.
Oh, it's not
Easter Sunday.
Thank you. You could have came in and interrupted me. I thought it was on Sunday for some reason. Sorry about that. It is on Monday. This game takes place on Monday, 8:15 local at Estádio da Luz.
Fantastic. So in tres los tres puntos.
That's it. So Benfica has to approach this game like they have approached these past games with professional and serious and just wanted to win from the onset. Faltam quantos?
Cinco finais.
So that's it. Dave, you got anything else to add before we part ways?
Yeah, just a public service announcement. If you're going to be at the game, please make some noise and cheer this team on. This is getting embarrassing now to the point where if you're not going to support the team, just stay at home. Like, what's the point? I feel like this club has more of support when they go on the road because you're going to get those passionate, hardcore Benfiquistas on the road. And it's more of an advantage when they're away from the stadium.
100 of them, Dave.
Yeah, let me take advantage of what you mentioned there, Dave. And obviously, we would love to give our honest opinion on that situation, but without being at the stadium, on the field, or in the stands, it's kind of hard to really give my honest opinion. I could only give you my opinion from what I've read. And this is a shameless plug, obviously. Not shameless, but the plug. Check out Benfica Independent. There's a text. Oh, there's a post there by Nuno Picado in which he talks about the fan culture and some of the different fans and their approaches now that they're going to the stadium. And yes, Benfica is pulling out big crowds. 56,000 is what they announced it at Estádio da Luz. But really, there was a better atmosphere at Estádio da Luz. And I'm not only talking the old one, but I'm also talking about the new one. When there was lesser people in there, they seemed to be a lot more into the game and a lot more supportive. But then again, this touches up on the type of crowds now that go to Benfica. You see the girls all there taking selfies and this and that. And, you know, so it's a different mindset. But nonetheless, if you go to the stadium, number one, don't whistle players because they're giving it their all and their effort. They should deserve your support, not your whistling.
You know who does that? Sporting fans whistle their players. They're as soon as they're off their form, they're on their players' back. Yeah, so let's
whistle.
Oh, they. You didn't have hair on your cheeks the last time they won a title. They're within. They're right at the whistle.
Yeah. No, and the thing is that, look, don't whistle the players. And look, leaving 5 minutes early. And here's the thing, right? The team worked their asses off and played their asses off to give you a good game and present a good entertaining spectacle. The most you could do is stay after the whistle and applaud the team. Leaving 5 minutes earlier just because you want to beat traffic is not going to be a lifesaver unless you're some kind of a doctor that you have to go to the hospital to start your shift. Come on, stay for the remaining of the game. And after the final whistle blows, applaud the team for their effort and for the performance that they put forth.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think a lot of the silence that you notice at the stadium as well has to do with the moment of the season you're in, the tension. You could feel the tension.
Think so?
I really do think so. You could feel the tension from our couches. Imagine at the stadium. So that's not an excuse. I agree with everything that was said. You got to go there and really give your team the 12th man. But I think that could be what's going on.
Yeah, possibly. Anyway, we'll put a bow on this. Hugo, are you on Twitter?
I am.
You wanted to shout out your Twitter? If you know it,
I'll have to get back to you guys on that one.
At 10, CO10 is where you can find Cristiano Oliveira. 87 DO87 is where you can find Dave. At Benfica Podcast is where you can find. Hugo is looking it up real quick. How many followers do you have?
I think I have about 30. It's at H
U A U. You see the H, I said the U.
At HUFER _10. 10. I'm the true number 10.
All right.
Yeah. You're lying to yourself.
Go give Hugo some love here on Twitter. And
I just joined not too long ago.
There you go. That's the excuse for the 30 followers only. Anyway, so thanks a lot for checking us out. Next week we'll be back. We'll break down the Eintracht game. We'll break down the Maritim game, and we'll look ahead to what's next for Benfica. Thank you very much for checking us out, Cristiano. Last words? Maybe you want to give your sponsor a shout out.
I'm good, bro. I'm good.
All right.
Hopefully, Benfica picks up another impressive victory on the road and another 3 points at Liga NOS, and we'll be back next week, ladies and gentlemen.
Dave, always good to speak to you and everyone. Take care, everyone.